Right from the opening paragraphs of his glorious little tome, Great Eccentrics, first published in 1984, author Peter Bushell escorts us, so we are informed, on a grand tour of the bizarre technical world of the eccentric, and mourns a world of increasing conformity in which individuality is being corroded almost daily, before celebrating the lives of such oddball luminaries as Squire Osbaldistone, who defeated the French tennis champion using just his hand as a racket, Jonas Hanway, who was convinced that tea drinking was the root of all social evil leading to divorce and suicide, and Lieutenant Colonel Alfred Daniel Wintle, MC, described in his Daily Express obituary as a real corpse reviver who took more boredom out of life in the 1950s and 60s than any other man in Britain. The unflattering but accurate sobriquet of Mad Jack Wintle, or Colonel Bogey as he was known in the popular press, probably explains it all. He despised bureaucracy, and his skirmishes with bloated authority became legendary. In 1966, as he predicted he would, he died of a clot. Splendid stuff. Indeed, as I compose this right now, I notice a similarly themed book, Eccentric Lives and Peculiar Notions, also first published in the same year as Bushell's and written by author and esotericist John Michel, in which he celebrates the extraordinary lives of, amongst others, Lady Blount and her efforts on the waters of the Old Bedford Level to prove the earth was flat, and Colonel Charles de Leyt Waldo Sibthorpe MP, the most conservative member of Parliament in history, who opposed even the mildest amendment on any aspect of the historic English Constitution. The gloriously bonkers Sibthorpe denounced the Great Exhibition of 1851 as an alien plot and called upon God to smite the Crystal Palace with hailstones and lightning. It may not be too hard to deduce from these representative residents of my bulging bookshelves, for which by dint of sheer space each candidate must fully justify its inclusion, that I have sympathy, and since I'm told, though I would vehemently disagree, that my own life is oft conducted within a parallel universe, a certain empathy with those to whom, as Bushell suggests, display their differences in their crotchets by marching to the beat of a different drum. And after being fascinated by such characters as Lord Monboddo, who was convinced that all babies were born with tails, and the scientist-philosopher J.B.S. Haldane, described by Nobel laureate Sir Peter Medawar as the cleverest man I ever knew, whose bleak but highly irreverent poem published in 1964 about his own terminal carcinoma has attained the status of minor masterpiece, I have concluded that whilst we may have issues in managing our great institutions such as the NHS, be floundering in the mire of our relations with our European neighbours, or riven with social divisions seemingly unsolvable by our politicians, the one field in which we consistently float like cream to the top is in our unrelenting procreation of the great British nutcase. And long may continue, for in the depths of adversity, sadness or strife, are they not a source of comfort, perhaps inspiration, for those of us trailing in their wake of weirdness, who would at heart simply love to have the personal courage, inner conviction, or sheer finger-waving defiance, to also march to that different drumbeat, to do it, a la Sinatra, their way. Other countries sustain their fair share of oddballs, of course, but here in good old Blighty, we can enjoy a particularly bounteous crop that punches well above its weight. They may not be eccentric all of the time, or in all of their views. The distinguished Victorian scientist Francis Galton otherwise blotted his copybook with his proposal that only the upper classes should be allowed to breed. Conversely, Dr. William Price was a revolutionary Welsh druid who geared his life according to his beliefs and routinely performed ceremonies at the Serpent Temple in Wales erected by druid revivalists. Then again, is Dr. Price brought under the umbrella of eccentric simply by manifestation of his lifestyle and beliefs? Many modern-day followers of Druidism would doubtless dispute the suggestion. Yes, it's a tricky one to nail down, but etymology is always a helpful starting point, so let's head there. Eccentricity is defined by the Oxford English Dictionary as the quality or habit of deviating from what is customary, and in engineering terms it also describes something that is off-centre. But this bland definition of the condition goes little way to defining what makes an eccentric, which takes us deep into the realms of psychology, the working of the brain, even the irreconcilable nature-nurture argument. And forgive me for not going there, for I am but a humble scribe. Yet, one aspect of which I am sure is that it is unnoticed by the sufferer, to wit, I am suggesting that it is a self-effacing prophecy, and that anyone who believes or states themselves to be eccentric is emphatically not. Therein lies the leap from overt ostentation, gregariousness, extroversion, or similar self-conscious characteristics that fall more accurately within the oeuvre of showmanship. The true eccentric, however bizarre the condition may manifest itself, would look agog upon anyone suggesting such a thing. The true eccentric believes their own views to be entirely mainstream, rational, and normal. To suggest otherwise would rail the defence of the proud mom at her son's army pass-out parade, who declares proudly, "Ooh, look, Johnny is the only one in step." All simple enough in our not-too-academically rigorous examination of the term in this context, but probe much further and distinctions become decidedly blurred. And lest the examples already given here may create the impression that eccentrics are universally benign souls, a source of amusement and wonderment by their antics, but hardly likely to ultimately threaten the fabric of society, we must clarify that this is not so. Eccentricity, or, harking back to the Oxford English Dictionary definition, the quality or habit of deviating from what is customary, can equally be a force for malevolence. Stand and be counted those to whom I routinely allude as representative of type, simply because such is their unique behaviour that I need not detain you with an explanation of their vile accomplishments. The name alone is sufficient. Idi Amin, Robert Mugabe, and the daddy of them all, A. Hitler Esquire. Genocidal maniacs? Not a word of it in their eyes. And if it were possible to interview these and their colleagues in the Hall of Infamy, and not forgetting some females as well, there are those who would now include Freedom Doyen Aung San Suu Kyi, who has been deposed from her lofty perch following the alleged genocide of Rohingya Muslims, I fair guarantee they would all consider themselves entirely justified in their rationale, despite being the only one in step. Which brings us to more pragmatic considerations of eccentric behaviour, especially when those eccentrics, who wouldn't ever describe themselves as such and would continue to entertain the clear misapprehension as to their own exemplary logic, may have ultimate control over the lives of thousands or even millions of people. The spectacular catalogue of verifiably nonconformist decisions of President Donald Trump, I make no political comment on whether they're right or wrong, but they are decidedly off the wall, continue to astound and cause jaws to drop in disbelieving awe. But he, and millions of his followers, consider him entirely reasonable. Should those who do not, and even those that do, be ever so slightly apprehensive that his index finger hovers over a big red button? Closer to home, we have the farrago, for that is what it is, the jumbled mess of Brexit, largely compounded by those of wildly disparate views, some of which by any pan-acceptable yardstick are nudging dangerously into the zones of extremity, and all by people who would argue to the end that they are entirely reasonable and further claiming to act on behalf of their followers who think likewise. I must question if there's been an explosion in the number of eccentrics that fall within our definition, or whether I have stretched that definition beyond its bubble of self-containment. It's certainly a far cry from our traditional acceptance of eccentricity as expounded by Nestor Webster, who throughout Britain in the 1920s promulgated the idea that civilization was threatened by an unholy combination of occultists and Freemasons. She was, in the classical sense, crackers, but ultimately innocuous. Not quite so our contemporary entourage, it seems. And there's the cause for unease. Historical events may not repeat themselves, but they do sometimes rhyme. The Shavian alphabet, also known as the Shaw alphabet, was posthumously funded by and named after Irish playwright George Bernard Shaw. It was conceived as a way to provide simple phonetic orthography to replace difficulties of conventional spelling. One Shavian maxim that has passed into widespread usage states, "The reasonable man adapts himself to the world. The unreasonable one persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man." Reputedly one of the world's top leadership experts, whose guidance is sought by the likes of rock stars, royalty, politicians and business executives, Robin Sharma says, "This is one of my favourite quotes from George Bernard Shaw. Sure, be practical. I agree it's important to use common sense. True, foolish risks can lead to difficult consequences. But having said that, don't be so scared of failure and disappointment that you fail to dream. Don't always be so reasonable and practical and sensible that you refuse to seize glorious opportunities when they show up and push the envelope as to what's possible for you. The world needs many more dreamers, unreasonable souls who fight the urge to be ordinary. You can be one of them, beginning today." In the blink of an eye, or within one paragraph at least, Mr. Sharma seamlessly transgresses the line from erudite observation to not too subtle sales pitch. And I understand the urban slang response to his closing entreaty runs along the lines of, "Yeah, right, whatever." Nevertheless, it would be enlightening to ascertain if many of our current movers and shakers have been influenced by Mr. Sharma's work. Frankly implausible. Or perhaps more likely by the entirely random nature of their chromosomes are predisposed to move in that direction. Answers on a postcard, please. Me? I'll just continue to listen to my heart while others discuss their soul. But I will conclude with a provocative bon mot on eccentricity that is equally germane to our nonconformists as it is to engineering, yet which has entirely distinct ramifications. It only takes one crank to start a revolution.